Hey, I really believe tonight's going to be a breakthrough night. I know we haven't come out on a Friday night just to have a good time. We've come to have a God time, and God wants to do something powerful in each and every one of our lives. So I believe something's going to break off, lift off people tonight. Tomorrow, I feel like in the morning, I've got a morning session as well. I feel like I've got a prophetic word that we're going to unlock. But how about just throwing an arm or two in the air wherever you are right now? We thank you, Holy Spirit, you're in this place. Lord, we give you permission to move. We pray you remove right now every hindrance, every limitation off our life. Lord, we thank you for what you've established, what you've done. You've been faithful. You've been good. But Lord, we thank you that just so that we can build on top of that. Lord, and I pray, Lord, you're speaking to every heart and every life. Let no person go out of this place untouched by your presence. We thank you, God, you're a good God who does good things. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, come on, can we give God one more big clap of praise? All right. How about giving three people a high five on the way down? Three people a high five on the way down. Woo. Such an honor and privilege to be here. And we've got so many people who have been just staying the course for many years on the first two rows there. And I love the fact that we've got many different movements represented at this conference. We've got Boyd, Elam, Armax. We've got Ralph Sutherland, he's New Life, and Andrew Parrington, New Life as well. Used to be Apostolic. And we've got C3, and we've got a whole lot of different people represented. But we're living in a day and an age, I believe, where some of those denominational walls are coming down, and we're just joining together and wanting to see the church built. Having grown up in a Christian family, in fact, I didn't start the church in Auckland. My father started the church, and at the age of 25, he said, you're leading it. Well, I was 25. You're leading it, and he went to London to plant a church. And I love the fact that I'm part of, I've got a generational blessing on my life. And what we're seeing in Europe right now is because of that faith step he initially took to establish that church in London, and now we've got churches in Switzerland, Italy. You know, I feel called to go to Rome, and yeah, I've got churches, and we've just launched a church in Budapest during the pandemic, and I was there 2 weeks ago, and already there's 120 people in that city. Got churches in Slovakia, Germany. Yeah, it's just amazing what God's done. Who would have thought we'd be able to do that from New Zealand? New Zealand's a small country. I don't know if you realize that. We think we're big, but we're actually small. I remember one time I was in Brazil. I was preaching in Brazil. And they said, where are you from? I said, I'm from New Zealand. They said, oh, is that part of Australia? I mean, no, they swore at me right there. There was a swear word right there. And it was one of those churches that had a map of the world on the back wall. You know, those that map of the world. And I went to show them where New Zealand was on that map. And do you know, New Zealand wasn't even on the map. What others have overlooked and discounted, how many know God wants to use? And from the ends of the earth, God's going to shine forth his glory. And, you know, to think that we could impact those other nations. We launched a church in Mexico just a month ago. And at the launch, just under 300 people in Mexico, India, Philippines. I can't keep up with what God's doing, but God's doing amazing things. And how many know this is the time to follow Jesus? This is not a time to be half-hearted in your faith. This is a time to be all in. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you all in? You're all in. We're all in. And yeah, we're all in. So some years ago, I was in a worship moment. Like tonight, so it was anointed, you felt the presence of God. And in the middle of this worship moment, I had a picture of a dog that we used to own growing up. This dog was a big, fat, fluffy dog. It had an appetite like nothing I've ever seen before, which was always helpful when you didn't like what was served up for dinner. Because sure enough, that dog would be under the table and those Brussels sprouts would just disappear in a moment. That dog rescued me on many occasions. But one thing about this dog, it used to overeat, and it would overeat to a point where it would throw up. It would throw up. So in this anointed worship moment I'm about to speak, I get a picture of the dog that we had growing up throwing up But how many know dogs don't just throw up? Once they've done their business in throwing up, they go back to the vomit and they lick it up. And so I'm going like, what's that all about? And I felt God led me to a place. I went to the back of my Bible, looked up the word vomit in the concordance at the back. And God led me to a verse in 2 Peter chapter 2 where it talks about there's a group of people who have known a way of righteousness. They're known a way of righteousness, but have got entangled with sin again. And it says that they don't go back to where they were. They actually end up in a worse off place. I like what Pastor Eleanor said. She said right at the start, God's going to mess us up. I've been messed up already. I can't even backslide and be happy. Yeah, as an 18-year-old, having grown up in church, I worked out that I listened to over 2,000 messages in a pastor's home, worked it out, heard great stories, heard great messages, and often would respond on the basis of how someone preached. But God really spoke to me from John chapter 8, verse 32, where it says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you." Come on, how many want to live free lives? Yeah, and he said, "Sam, you've heard a lot. You've read a lot. You can quote some stuff, but you don't know that much." See, that word know means to understand, and it actually means to learn through your five senses. There's a lot of people who have been in church for a long time, and they've read a lot, heard a lot, but they don't know that much because they haven't experienced the truth. They know about the truth, but it's not a living experience. And as an 18-year-old, I said, "God, I don't want to just have a belief in you. I want to experience you. I don't want to just believe that you heal. I want to see your healing power. I don't want to just believe that you want to see my friends saved. I want to see my friends in the house of God." And so from that moment, I said, "I'm not going to settle for just having a belief in you. God, I want to experience your power." The best way to stuff up your life is to be half-hearted in your faith. The kingdom works off an all-in principle. And here it says there's a group of people who are known a way of righteousness. They got entangled with sin again, and they ended up in a worse-off place. It says it would have been better that they had never known. Because what they are, they're like a dog returning to its vomit, or a washed pig returning to the mud. Turn to your neighbor and say, "There's no going back." There's no going back. That's right. We're building on top of what God's established. There's only one way, and that's forward in Jesus' name. Come on, if you believe that, I want you to give God a big clap of praise. But how many know going forward is a challenge? Every time you take a step for God, there's some opposition attached to it. The door of opportunity swings on the hinge of opposition. And many people think, "Well, I'm going to move forward," and they get surprised when they face opposition. But one thing is, there's an enemy, and this enemy will continually oppose God's purpose in our life. But I'm glad today that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. Yeah, in fact, Paul says this to Timothy. He says, "Timothy, stir up the gift that's within you." I want to say right now, come on, church, it's time to stir up the gift that's in you. There's gifts and graces on your life that God wants to use in this season. This is not a time to sit back. This is not a time to be apathetic. This is not a time to observe. You know, the kingdom doesn't come by observation. It comes with obedience. And this is a time to really step forward into everything that God's called us to and his assignment. But with that, there's going to come opposition. Many years ago, I had a paper round. I had one of those jobs where I get up in the early hours of the morning and deliver newspapers. I don't think there's many people who have paper rounds. But in my generation, that was the part-time job you had when you were growing up. Anybody have a paper round? Yeah, there's a number of paper. Well, one thing I hated about my paper round was, especially in the early hours of the morning when it was dark, is dogs would come at me from nowhere. You wouldn't see them coming, but they'll come out. And often I'd feel myself trapped behind my bike while a dog's coming at me. And I thought, man, I gotta deal with these dogs. In fact, my friend said there's different ways of dealing with dogs. The first way you can deal with a dog is if it comes at you, you just lie down and remain completely still and just let it sniff you, and eventually it will go away. How many know I didn't think that was a good idea? The other way of dealing with a dog is people say, run. But how many know if a dog smells fear, it's going to come after you stronger. And if you're a great runner, good on you. But I'm not that fast. And so he said the other way of dealing with a dog is you look it in the eyes and you show it no fear. And if you have to, you just yell at it. Now there was one address that, I'd never seen the dog, but I'd heard it. And for years, not years, but a long time, as I'd approach that address, I wouldn't go near it. I'd cross over to the other side of the road. I'd walk on the other side of the road. And once I'd pass safely past that place, I'd cross back over, and I'd keep doing my round. But how many know my round took longer? It took longer. Why? Because I was intimidated by the sound of this dog. And there came a point in time as I thought, man, why am I crossing the road? Yeah, I've been crossing the road. This is taking longer. You know, I could be home right now. But I'm intimidated by the sound of this dog. And so one day I thought, man, I'm just going to walk down one side of the street. It's my right. That dog's not going to intimidate me any longer. And so sure enough, as I was coming close to the address, walking down, I heard the sound of this dog. But I thought, no, I'm going to keep walking. And then as I approached the address, I was ready to look it in the eye, yell if I had to. But out of the shadows, I'd heard the sound of this dog, but I'd never seen it. Out of the shadows came this little dog. And I thought, all this time, I've been crossing the road for that? Some of us right now, we're accommodating things. And we don't even know we're accommodating. We're crossing the streets simply because we're living under a spirit of intimidation. Come on, I said tonight's going to be a breakthrough night. Because I really believe there's a spirit trying to intimidate people out of God's purpose and destiny for their life. And if you're to walk in everything that God's called you to, you need to overcome the spirit that seeks to attach itself to your life. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear or timidity or intimidation, but he's given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Come on, what have we been given? We've been given a spirit of power, love, and a sound. That's what you've been given. If you know Jesus, you have power, you have love, the unconditional love of God, and you have a sound mind. Come on, I want to speak that into some people's lives right now, because right now in your mind's all over the place. But I believe even in this place tonight, that spirit is going to be removed, and what's been a storm in your mind is going to, peace is going to come to that place in Jesus' name. Can I get an amen for that? Come on, I'm believing in faith something's going to shift in this place. But here's the thing, if we're going to move forward, we've got to deal with the dogs. Yeah, you've got to deal with the dogs, because every time you decide to do something for God, every time there's going to be a dog barking in your mind, saying, who do you think you are? What makes you think you can do that? But we're going to deal with the dogs. Turn to your neighbor and say, deal with the dogs, deal with the dogs. We're going to deal with the dogs. That's right. It's time to deal with the dogs. Now, there's three ways that the spirit of intimidation manifests itself. Some of you are saying, well, I don't think I'm under that. Well, the question I want to ask you is, what would you do if you had no fear? What would you do right now if you had no fear? See, if the truth be known, in a lot of places, we're scaling back things, we're holding back, simply because we're living under the Spirit. We owe it to ourselves to be free from the Spirit. See, there's three ways that the Spirit manifests itself. The first dog that we need to deal with, number one, is the dog of past failure. Because every time you step out and you decide to do something new, the enemy loves to remind us of what went wrong. Oh, remember what you did back then? Remember how it didn't work out? Remember how last time you believed in faith, but it didn't quite come together? You know, and all these voices start speaking to us in our head. I did a degree, and in the second year of my degree, you know, I decided to apply myself. First year, I thought C's get degrees. And, you know, I sort of cruised through school, hadn't failed at anything, but I thought, I'm going to go after an A. I'm going to apply myself. I'm going to work really hard. I'm going to focus. Come the end of the semester, I got a D. I failed. I was devastated. I was gutted. But I knew God had led me to do the degree I was in. And how many know if God calls you to something, he doesn't change his mind halfway through? Right there was a temptation to go, oh, maybe I'm not cut for this. A few of my friends, they failed as well, and they were bailing out. But I knew God had placed me where I was. And I said, well, God, okay. You know, I've got to deal with this. You know, a lot of places today, the church doesn't have a theology on failure. If we know Psalm 37, it talks about how the steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord. Man, there's a lot of people who know Scripture in this place. That's great. Ordered by the Lord, and God delights in his way. But it says, though he fall. Hang on, I thought you ordered my steps. I thought you ordered my steps. What do you mean? There's times I might trip up. Yeah, it says, though he fall, he will not utterly be cast down. I want to say there's times where you will be cast down. But the good news is you won't utterly be cast down, because God will uphold you in his hand. And God has a way of turning our failures into triumphs. In fact, I had to go back and repeat a whole 6 months. That was just intimidating in itself, turning up to a classroom, people asking, oh, what papers did you do last semester? I said, oh, I did this paper. Yeah, it's not a nice environment, you know, just even having to say that. But I challenge to say, I learned more in that 6 months than I did in the rest of my degree. Because I learned to look failure in the eyes and say, you know, you're not going to overcome me. See, if the truth be known, in many places, a lot of us have started out with dreams. But we've failed, or it hasn't quite worked out the way we thought it should. So what we've done now is we've scaled back our dream so we avoid that feeling. We can't be afraid of failure. Now, we wouldn't have churches around the world right now if we didn't have to overcome failure. Man, I've run many events that were just, whoa, they were bad. I thought hundreds were going to turn up. You know, there's only been a few. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about there? And it's like on the inside of you, you think about it again, and inside it goes, don't do that again. Remember how painful that was? Remember you had all that expectation? Remember you even invested money? And I was like, oh, what makes you think it's going to work this time? Yeah, what makes you think? We wouldn't have churches in any other places if we weren't able to look failure in the eyes. Come on, there's a spirit that intimidates us. Every time you take a step forward, I'll remember what you did back then. Who are you to think God could use you after what you did? Who do you think God, what makes you think God could anoint you? And there's a spirit that we need to deal with. Come on, we're dealing with the dogs. Number one, first dog that we need to deal with is we need to deal with the dog of past failure. Second dog that we need to deal with is the dog of present insecurity. How many get insecure from time to time? Just lift your hand. Okay, I'll just wait for the insecure people to lift their hands. It's like, I don't want to own that. Oh, who's looking? The fact of the matter is we all get insecure. Insecure from that. I grew up as a shy, insecure pastor's kid. I was so shy, my parents used to have to put me away from crowds. But there was a point where I was filled with the Spirit, and I had to come to the realization that shyness was not one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's not love, joy, peace, patience, shyness. It's not there. Come on, the Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. And I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, Sam, you know your insecurity? And I go, yeah, I know it. Yeah, I know it not really well. He goes, you know your insecurity? You know that's rooted in pride? I go, hey, how's that? And then he said, well, when you're insecure, when you have those feelings of insecurity, who are you thinking about?
You're thinking about yourself. And as long as you're thinking about yourself, I can't use you to do what I want you to do. And so every time now I feel insecure, still get insecure from time to time. Every time I feel insecure, I say, Sam, stop being proud. Stop being proud. Because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. A lot of us have a wrong definition of humility. At the root of humility, from a biblical understanding, is humility simply means to agree with God. If God's called you to be awesome, which he has, who are you to disagree with God? Who are you to disagree with him? God, when he made you, he didn't make a mistake. He didn't go, oops, got that wrong, I'll get a better with the next one. You know, everything about you is where it should be. Now, what we're going to understand when it comes to God is purpose precedes design. Think about this. Purpose precedes design. When an architect designs something, he starts with the purpose, and then the design fits the purpose. He doesn't design something and go, oh, that could be good to live in. Purpose precedes design. Come on, we know Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a masterpiece. I'm a masterpiece. You're a masterpiece. Yeah. We are his masterpiece. A masterpiece. And we're being recreated in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works that he's prepared for us in advance to do. So he started with our purpose. He started with your purpose. You're not here by chance. You don't look the way you look by chance. You are God's masterpiece. And he started with your purpose, and your design fits your purpose. That's why the world right now is trying to use people outside of their purpose. And that's why many people are confused and upset. Because until you discover your God-given purpose, you'll never fully understand or comprehend the way God's designed you. Come on, how many know God's called us to do big stuff? I believe you can't serve a big God and have a small dream. Some of us right now in our insecurity, we're limiting God to what we can do. Humility always allows a space between our ability and God's sovereignty. It allows that space. It's like some of us right now, we're living in the safe zone. We're not living by faith. And the issue is our pride. The reason why we don't step out is, well, what if it all turns to custard? What if I fail? Well, what if you fail? What if I lose a whole lot of money? Well, it's just money. What if I get embarrassed? God, are you doing the thing that God's called you to do? Some of you for a long time have heard God's voice, but you're waiting for the opportune moment. You're waiting for a space where it's all going to come together. But God's saying, now. He's saying, now. There's so many people, you know, it's God, show me and I'll go. Show me what I should, and I'll go. I found God doesn't work that way. He says, go and I'll show. That's what he did with Abraham. Abraham left his home, left his father's house, and he says, go and I will show you. And I will show you. In fact, Hebrews talks about that Abraham left not knowing where he was going. I think some leaders who tell people they know where they're going are just making it up. I know we've got an inheritance. I know God wants to do, but I'm just putting one foot in front of the other. How many want to join the journey with me? We're just going, and God will show us. And we have this argument with God. We say, God, you show me, and then I'll go. And God says, no, go, and I'll show. And we go, no, I need some more details here, God. How many are going to know? God doesn't give the details. He just wants us to be obedient to his voice. And he says, go and I'll show. And we're going, show and I'll go. And then God goes, hey, no go, no show. God can't steer a parked car. And some of you are in your garage waiting for direction, and God's saying, hey, just move in the direction that I've called you to, and I'll open the doors and I'll go before you. Come on, do I get an amen on that one? Come on, let's give God a big clap of praise. But you've got to deal with the dog. You've got to deal with the dog. Sometimes faith is, you know, people think, oh, it's working up something to the best case scenario. I think sometimes faith, I turn to Kathy and go, hey, if this all turns to custard, will you still love me? We look at each other and go, yeah, we'll still love one another. You know, what if we die? Well, we get to go to heaven. But so many of us are intimidated by what could go wrong that we don't step our heart on what is right. Right now, what's the worst? Come on, you made that money before. You can make it again. You mean you're going to miss the opportunity of what God could do because you're afraid? What would you do if you had no fear? Come on, we need to deal with the dog. The first dog we're dealing with is the dog of past failure. Second dog is the dog of present insecurity. Third dog we need to deal with is the dog of perceived obstacles. Perceived obstacles. How many know we serve a big God? Big, ginormous, huge, massive. Other words that represent big. Big God, big God, small problem. Oh man, if that happened, that would be big. That'd be massive. But we serve a big God, huge God, small, tiny problem. How many know God right now is not in heaven freaking out over the problems you've got in your life? Going, oh, I've never seen this one before. Oh, this is difficult. Michael, Gabriel, we better get a committee meeting together because I don't know how I'm going to solve this one. It's like, this is going to bankrupt heaven. Come on, how do we view the obstacles that are in front of us? Do we see the grapes or do we see the giants? Come on, big God, huge God, small problem. So often we're telling God how big our problems are. God, this is big. We need a building. How many know that's a big deal? But how many know God's bigger than the facilities we need? In fact, we just got given a building in Berlin. Yeah, in Berlin, who would have thought that? A $6 million building we just got given for our church. But God's bigger than anything that we face. And we're telling God how big our problem is. We need to start telling our problems how big our God is. Come on, we need to have the spirit of David. Goliath personified intimidation. If we could have the musicians up. He personified intimidation. And David turns up on the scene, and he looks at Goliath, and he goes, what do I get if I kill him? It wasn't a question of if he could. As when I kill him, I want to know that there's some type of reward for this. What do I get if I kill him? And then when he goes to the battlefield, you know, Goliath is taunting the Israelites. And they're coming under the spirit of fear time and time again. It's like they'll get dressed for battle. They arrive at the battlefield, the thing that they're dressed for, and then they wouldn't do the very thing that they're meant to do. Because the spirit of intimidation would come over them. It's amazing how many Christians come to Christian meetings dressed as Christians, looking like Christians, but then don't do the very thing that Christians should be doing, which is putting faith and trust in Jesus. And the enemy time and time would come and taunt. But David turns up, and he listens to the taunt, and he looks at Goliath in the eyes and says, today, I'm going to cut off your head, and I'm going to feed your dead carcass to the birds of the air. Who are you? Who are you to defy the armies of the living God? Come on, some of us right now, you know, it's like we're being intimidated by the sound, but it's a small dog. And some of you are going, realizing right now, man, all this time I've been crossing the road for that? All this time? You mean I've been adjusting my behavior and accommodating something in my life that's actually holding me back? Come on, this is the time to deal with those dogs Because those dogs, they're barking, and some of you can hear even right now. Then back, oh, I've been prayed for before. Nothing shifted, nothing changed. Well, go again. Go again. Come on, we're born again. Are you born again? Born once. Born again. Come on, that's where you really experience life. Within the word again is again. You don't gain unless you do it again. If you want to gain, if you want to move forward, there's some things you just don't do once. You do it again. Well, I've done it once. Nothing shifted. Well, do it again. Do it again. Go again. Come on, some of you have gone before and it hasn't worked out and disappointments come into your heart. And there's a cloud. And, you know, people today, sometimes in disappointment, what they do is they build a theology to accommodate their disappointment. And they put limitations on God. But this is not a time for the church to shrink back. This is a time for the church to advance. And there's a spirit of intimidation even over our nation that we need to break. We need to break because the church needs to move forward. We can't be shy. We can't be hesitant. We can't cross the road. So many people, leaders, that say, oh, we need to cross the road. Yeah, we need to be careful on that. No. Let's make sure. We're walking with integrity. We're doing things right. But let's make sure that we're not pulling back on the very thing that God's called us to do. Come on. This is a breakthrough night. And I really believe God wants to break something open in people's lives today, but you've got to deal with the dog. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to deal with the dog. Or the dogs. Or the dogs. There may be a whole kennel, I don't know, in your life. You ever gone to a kennel and they never, it's like, all the time. And some of us know, it's just every time. It's like barking in our ears. But God hasn't given us. Come on, it hasn't come from God. God hasn't given us a spirit of timidity, intimidation. That can't remain. But He's given us a spirit of... That's what you've been given. That's what you have right now.